B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Just won yourself some FanFest tickets. I do have to tell you, the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. It is with great pride and pleasure that we welcome in, for the first time on our morning show, the general manager of the 76ers, the man we know and love as Chief Beef.
Chief Beef!
Elton Brand joins us. Good morning, Elton.
Chief Beef is in the building.
Yeah!
There we go.
Chief Beef!
Elton, I gotta tell you, when Bob Cooney was texting with you about your approval of the nickname, which was given to you really inadvertently at the press conference where they were asking you about a beefy Joel Embiid, and as a beefy big man yourself, Elton, and you were like, whoa. We appreciate you approving that nickname.
Yeah, no, BC text me, and I just fell out my chair. I like it a lot. I'll take it. I could take a joke. I'm with it. I'm not that BC, though. I work out 10 times a day.
No, there's no father body on you, EB.
So, Mr. Chief Beef, sir, this is your first full off season as the player, as the general manager of the 76ers. In your viewpoint from the draft to this point right now, how has it been going for you so far?
Yeah, no, it's tough. It's tough because, you know, you come up with all these scenarios and, you know, you're stressing. You need timing. You need some luck. You need everything to work out because you go through the draft first and you have this vision. I said, okay, you know, I already have Zaire. I have, you know, potentially Matisse and now Mario, Jonah. I have these young players I have to develop. So I can't add three more young players to develop because we have championship aspirations. So, all right, the draft is gone. Now you're trying to get these contracts done with these, you know, super talented players, and you don't know which way it's going to go. So it's a lot of stress. You don't want to let the city down. You don't want to let the fans down. Like, I know what this city means. I know what the Sixers means to our city and to these fans. So I'm like, I can't F this up. I can't mess this up. You know what I mean? So it was stressful, but we got through it, and I think we came out on the good side of it. I'm proud of where we are right now.
Well, I know right after the draft you said it all makes sense soon. When it didn't appear you guys would trade up or anything like that to make the big splash, for lack of a better term, you said it will all make sense soon. So there had to be a plan in place, obviously. How close are we to that plan right now?
Well, there were a few plans. So this is close to that plan. You know, if this guy goes here, then you have to pivot. You have to add someone else. So I'm very happy where we are. Al Horford, adding Josh Richardson. You know, we lost some great, great, great people from the organization and from the team. But where we are, I'm very happy where we are and where we ended up.
Well, Elton, we know you can't talk specifically about deals until they're officially signed, and I think we know about the big one that we're talking about. But when you said the plan will make sense soon, and Mark alluded to it a little bit, but was Ben Simmons always in that plan? Was he the guy, like, okay, here it is? Because to me it just came off as when you said that, and then when the Jimmy Butler went and Ben Simmons stayed, it seemed to me that it was like, yeah, this is Ben Simmons' team and that's our plan.
I wouldn't go that far to say it's Ben Simmons' team, but he's definitely a piece, and I'm looking forward to getting that. He's a great piece, an important piece. But we can't forget about Joel Embiid. You know, like, his contract's not up now, and he didn't just get drafted. But to me, he's the ultimate, you know, North Star. It starts and ends with his development and how good he's going to be also this year. Like, let's not forget about Joe. But Ben,
I wasn't forgetting, but you know us point guards are more important than you big man, Elton. I mean, let's be honest here.
I don't know. He just showed you, man. It's all about playing in the paint, man.
And that defense he's going to bring. But absolutely, you know, come on, 23 years old, Rookie of the Year, All-Star, like, he's going to grow. So everyone nitpicks on certain things, believe me, he's developing, and he's gonna make the city proud. So I'm excited to have him back.
So we're speaking with Elton Brand, GM of the Sixers. So, and again, to echo what Bob just said, you can't comment on a deal that may or may not be in place, still logistics of that being worked out. But all that being said, you guys have a much higher opinion, and you think the ceiling is much higher for Ben Simmons than what it's already set at right now. At least him, you're betting on him being in the floor where he's going to be a lot more than just a point guard who makes a couple of all-star teams. You think his ceiling is much higher than that?
Yeah, no, we feel his ceiling is higher than that, for sure. And I wouldn't be mad with, you know, with our group if he made some all-star teams and, you know, first, second team NBA, where that is, and we get to the championship, we'll all be fine. We'll all be happy with with his progress and where he is, because it's a team. Like, that's where we built this year and going forward. So we have a great team and great culture in place.
So going into this offseason then, how much are you guys stressing the jump shot? Because as you know by now, the fan base really wants to see that. So how much is that a focal point right now for the team and for Ben Simmons in this offseason?
Yeah, his full development is, of course, that's the easy answer. But it's a part of his game. He's been improving it, and it's just like I just want him to knock a few down so he can get it behind him and move on, because he's working on it, and it will come. And he's not scared. He just wants to make the right play all the time. And he feels like, hey, at that time, this wouldn't be the best basketball play. When I have a Joel, or I have a Tobias, or I have a Al Horford. So we're going to grow it, he's going to grow it, and he's excited to grow it. He's working on it.
Are you confident, Elton, that we'll be able to see a little bit of that next season?
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah, for sure. I'm very confident. Like, Brett Brown, we talk about it. Like, for Ben's development, we will see it, for sure. And it's not as big a deal as, you know, everyone's making it for Ben. Like, he's going to grow into it. He will shoot jumpers. He will play. He just wants to be the best basketball player he can be for our team.
When you guys brought on Al Horford, right away I went to, you and I had a conversation some years ago talking about, I think it was when the Sixers still had Jahlil Okafor and they were trying to work that out as far as, you know, having two big men play. I think Horford will be real advantageous to Joel Embiid as far as growing his inside game, like a two-man down low game. How do you envision the two of them together? And do you see it that way, that Horford will be able to add to Joel's big man game?
Yeah, no, I agree. Spacing, his role, his fit, you know, as a leader, you know, his destination, he really wanted to be here to work with Joel. And then also grow Joe, spacing, he can shoot threes and back him up. That was important. So in the playoffs, you have Joel Embiid, he gets his rest, and then you have Al Horford as your center. Like, you know, I didn't want to overcompensate for that hole that we had in the postseason, but you know, having Al Horford fill in, universally respected for his leadership, his championship pursuits. He wants to win, so I'm just glad we can make that happen.
Elton, you, in a day and age in the NBA where everyone's just saying shoot threes, shoot threes, shoot threes, and you need guard play, you've doubled down on centers. How much of that is really what this team has dictated, and how much of that is also trying to defend against a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo in the East?
There you go. You know, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about other players, but I know what teams are in the Eastern Conference Championship last year. And one team lost the MVP of the finals. And so there's the other team. So absolutely, we will have to face that team if we want to win. So that's important. We have to defend, you know, a very elite player that is very talented, and we have to figure out how to get by there. So that was definitely in my mind, for sure.
And the other thing is, aside from people talking about Ben Simmons and a jump shot, the other repeat that we hear from fans a lot of times is Joel Embiid and his health, his diet, taking his talent seriously. What's in place right now to make sure that Embiid comes back as the best version of himself for next year?
Yeah, he's self-motivated. You know, it's self-motivated. Like, he did not like the way it ended, and he felt like, you know, he could have did more. He told me that. He told the group that. He told the press that on his exit interview. So he's self-motivated to come back. And sometimes you need that fire burning. You need that, you know, from within to get past whatever you need to get to be the best player he can be. So he's ready. He's working. He's traveling. But he's still working every day. And he's excited to get back. So I just spoke to him yesterday. He's back. He's ready.
Has he signed a modeling contract yet? He said on Instagram he wanted to do that. He was looking cut, EB. He was looking cut.
No, yeah, I think I've seen a 4.5 pack or something going on down there. Yeah.
Speaking with Elton Brand, Chief Beef himself, Elton, the other thing here, when you're looking at how this team is kind of coming together, you mentioned a couple of different plans that you had that you wanted to initiate at the start of the offseason. Are we at least in plan A, or has there still been some diverting based on other players making decisions to go elsewhere?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. No, this is plan A. This is where we need to be. This is the team we need to beat. You know, we're preparing for the teams we need to beat. You know, the players we lost, we thank them for all their contributions last year, and we support them going forward. But this is definitely where we need to be.
Elton, how much did last year's playoff have to do with the moves that you made this year? In particular, you know, I it didn't surprise me, the Jimmy Butler decision, because maybe it didn't help out Ben as much as you know, his growth could be if you have a Jimmy Butler. Did that come into play? Did you see Tobias as a better fit with a Ben Simmons?
You know, Ben's growth is important. Ben's growth is important, and I'd like to thank Jimmy for what he did for the team.
Sure.
You know, he was great for us, especially in the playoffs. Tobias and locking him up for the fit and the growth of the team. So I won't get into specifics with the negotiations, but I'm happy with the way it turned out for sure. Mm-hmm. And you have to think of that. You have to think about the growth and the future of the team and the organization as a whole. When you go into these negotiations and, you know, into the offseason.
One thing that we're trying to look for right now, I mean, I know Tobias, when he came here, he was a very good three-point shooter coming over from the Clippers. Do you expect him to kind of go back to those numbers in this offense?
Yeah, he was 40-plus percent three-point shooter, all-star caliber player, player of the month out there in the West. Key member of our core for years, 27 years old. So I'm excited. He fits here very well. Leader in the locker room and in the community. So that's why we traded for him, to make him a long-term piece. But I think everyone would be pleasantly surprised by his growth this year.
I know you're not going to show us your cards here. I know it's like all part of negotiating and all that. But when it comes to completing the plan and kind of putting this puzzle together, I know a lot of people here would love to see somebody that's similar to the style of play that J.J. Redick had. You know, someone able to hit that outside shot. How much would you like to have that type of player maybe coming off the bench for you?
Yeah, we'd love to have that. You know, spacing is key. Oh, we're going to hang our hats on defense, but when it's crunch time, you're going to need spacing to operate. So we are looking for players that can space the court. And we are in talks with a few of them, so we'll see how that goes. Hopefully the city will have someone that they know and can receive them well.
Did any of the players you're talking to have a Justin Bieber haircut before Justin Bieber? Just asking.
Oh, man. That's investigative reporting right there.
Big time, man.
Yeah. Elton, the defense that this team on paper seemingly is going to bring is kind of mind-boggling when you think of the length and, of course, two rim protectors and everything that you have there. How do you envision this team defensively? What are you expecting from it?
Yeah, I'm happy to add such a talented player in Josh Richardson. You know, on ball guarding was tough for us. You know, the point of attack, point of initiation, and he is, you know, at the highest level of that. So to add a young player like that, I'm just glad we can add something like that. And then the rim protection, it's the athleticism. You've seen Matisse Thybulle. You know, this summer in summer league, the way he can move, he actually shot it better than some thought he could. So I'm Zaire. He's grown. So defensively, and that's where we saw in the playoffs. When it's hard to score, you give your team a shot.
Elton, in the early goings, was still some, you know, obviously a lot of time left here in the offseason, as we know. Kind of your expectations right now for this team, because the bar seems pretty high. The expectations seem pretty high with the fan base, where they're expecting this team to really make a big push in the Eastern Conference. One of your own players, James Ennis, even saying that this is the type of team that will walk through the Eastern Conference. How would you respond to that?
Well, I'd say, like, look, James, I don't want to walk. Maybe we could take the bus. It's tough. You know, we all dealt with it. Like, you know, yeah, I'm a general manager, but I'm a fan and I love this team. So I'm in the moment and I see how the ball could bounce. So it's tough. It's going to be tough. We're going to grow. I'm looking forward to training camp so we can grow with this unit and, you know, see how good we can be. But that our goal is championship aspirations. So we're going to do everything we can to get there.
I never thought I would care about the Australian national team's roster in the FIBA World Championship there, but I was looking forward to actually seeing Ben Simmons play. Can you shed any light on why he might not participate in the World Championship?
Can't shed much light into that. It still may be up in the air. You know, I know it is agent Rich Paul and I, we've had some good talks, so we'll see where that goes. But we support Ben in any decision he makes there.
Now, last one from me. Do you kind of feel a sense of relief? Not that your work is done. I know by no means is your work done. But a bulk of it is tied up. You look at the five guys that you have starting their contracts. I mean, that's as stable as it can be. Is there a sense of easy, a little bit of easiness on your part? Like, okay, the work, the heavy workload is done, and now it's just bits and pieces, and you can sit back and just roll with it.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I was stressed. I couldn't let the city down. I couldn't let the fans down. And it wasn't looking rosy at times. So we had to fight. My group did great. You know, Mark, Ned, we did a great job putting it together, Alex. So we figured out how to come through this in a positive way. So I'm excited for training camp. I'm excited. I know the expectations are high. But I'm looking forward to it, and we got through it. So absolutely not a sigh of relief, because we still have a lot of work to do, but I'm glad to be where we are right now.
Well, at the very least, I mean, obviously, as I said, the fans and myself included, we're expecting a great season from the Sixers. We look forward to talking to you again. But one of the things I think a lot of people wish is they wish they knew a little bit more about Ben Simmons. It seems like we know everything about Joel Embiid because he's posting on social media every 30 seconds in his personal life. Can you give us something on Ben that might surprise some people? Because we kind of see him as a silent assassin type of guy. What's Ben like behind the scenes?
You know, he's quiet, but he works. You know, he works. He's not as Hollywood as some people might think. Like, he wants to be in the gym. He loves Philly. He wants to be in Philadelphia. Like, it's not just about the contract that could be coming. It's about him loving the area and wanting to be here. So, and the team. So he's a great, great, great young man. He wants to work and he's developing. Off the court stuff on who he's dating and stuff like that, I have no clue these days.
I thought you were gonna say he's working on that too. Well,
yeah, I don't know about that stuff. I stay out of that stuff.
Yeah,
Elton Brand, GM of the Sixers. Can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming on with us and spending some time on the program with us, Chief Beef.
Chief Beef, we
appreciate it, man.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, talk to you soon, Elton Brand. Though, look, he didn't say this, and I want to be clear. Elton Brand did not come on the radio and say this, but I'm saying it. Kyle Korver's going to be this with the Sixers again.
That's what I took away from it.
It kind of sound like that.
Yeah, I mean, I believe he said something, familiar with him. Yeah, welcome him back.
Yep, see that? I got him off guard with the Justin Bieber comment, and he didn't know what to think. All of a sudden, he's giving us the guts.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
That's the art of the interview, kids. Yeah. To all the young interviewers out there. No, but it also,
I feel good about that now.
And the other thing is, I mean, Bob, you walked him down, I don't want to say walked him down this road, but you asked the question about, you know, Ben Simmons and kind of the plan and all that, right? And it was like, yeah, Ben's part of it. But still, the guy that even the head coach, Brett Brown, will highlight as the crown jewel of the process, if you will. Huh. We all know by now. It's
a big fella.
It's,
yeah.
And it's Joel Embiid.
Yeah. And not that it was my fault. Maybe I should have worded it differently. But I look, when I say hand the team to somebody, I look as Joel Embiid as the leader, the guy of this team. But when I say hand the team to somebody, I do. It's my mentality of point guard.
Right.
Like, who's running the show? Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid's the best player. Hands down, best player. He's going to lead this team to wherever they go. As far as who's running the show, to me, and maybe wrongfully so, it always goes to the point guard.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. That's just me. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he didn't want to get into details about Jimmy Butler and max deals and all that stuff. That's not going to come out anyway. Yeah.
It's over with anyway now. Yeah. So, you know, right. Don't worry about it.
Certainly, but I think if you had to give, I mean, I remember we gave the approval rating. We asked the question after Horford and Tobias Harris and those guys, you know, kind of signed with the Sixers. People were ecstatic. That Jimmy Butler rage was about 6 hours. Yeah. Not even.
Yeah. I'm kind of stunned by it. Because the city fell hard.
Oh, we did.
We were swooning.
Yeah, big time.
Oh, yeah. Everybody fell in love with Jimmy Butler.
And, I was kind of shocked there wasn't more outrage.
Minivan sales went through the roof.
But I guess that tells you how good the moves were, that people were able to see through it.
I forgot who's going to have the Easter egg hunt this year. I forgot. I failed the people.
I'm sure Tobias can throw an Easter egg hunt.
No, but the other part of it is that, definitely. Like, when I asked him about Ben Simmons coming back with a jump shot, his confidence level, it wasn't of, you know, we'll see, he's working on it. It was, oh, for sure. Oh, definitely.
Kind of sounds like my 10 yesterday, huh?
It kind of sounds like what?
When I gave you the 10 yesterday?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did give the 10.
Uh-huh,
you and Chief Beef, same page.
Yeah.
And, Jamie, by the way, just let me know as soon as we have Chief Beef is in the building. Let me know when that drop is here.
Yes.
And that will be played.
I will be doing that during the break.
It's just something about being former players, you know. You kind of see it differently.
Yeah, I guess.
But look, I think the two main things of the offseason have to do with Ben Simmons developing that jump shot and Elton Brand taking his talent seriously Joel Embiid taking his talent seriously. And Elton Brand was very candid about that, about it, you know, seeing that kind of a 4.5 pack, I think is how he put it, for Joel Embiid getting in better shape. And then again, Ben Simmons, for all intents and purposes, Ben Simmons is going to have that mid-range game next year. You're not going to see 5-10 jump shots a game, but you're at least going to see him comfortable with being able to take that shot when he's open on the floor.
And also how you spoke about bringing Al Horford in to kind of help with the leadership part of it. Because that's going what's going to be huge, especially if you're putting – if you're making the big fella – if you're saying, okay, the big fella, hey, this is you. We go in whichever direction you lead us. Then you need to make sure that you have someone to show him – well, to be there to kind of help guide him to make sure that he's leading us towards the championship.
Yeah.
And not with all this, oh, you know – I'm good this day, bad this day. You need to somehow have someone there to help him with showing that consistency, someone that is in the locker room with him.
Yeah, and you know what? Joel Embiid's in a really good spot because they bring in an Al Horford who has done that and who continues to do it. And then although he's the GM, Elton Brand played in this league for 12, 13 years as an undersized big man as whose work ethic could never be challenged by anyone, who was just revered around the league for the positive way he handled NBA basketball. So as much as Al Horford's going to help Joel Embiid in that aspect, I think Elton Brand will also.
And I'll just say this. Look, it's so much better than how I'm about to lay it out, but it's something we can't take for granted. To have stability
it's the first time in... How long?
Like, first off, it's stability with the roster in that you're going to have two of your main players with this team, right? And you're going to have Tobias Harris for the foreseeable future.
Because I wouldn't even say Colangelo was stability. That was something that was forced upon us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because you had Jerry Colangelo and then Brian Colangelo. Mm-hmm. So then that wasn't stable in the least bit.
Nope.
Sam Hinkie right before that. Then Brett Brown was running things. And then EB came in after the draft. Like, one of the things I really respect about Elton Brand is that, like, his opinion, like, if you like it, cool. If not, whatever. It's not like he's just doing things willy-nilly. When I asked him before this past season about getting involved and people saying you don't have the experience and all that, he was like, well, do you like where this team's at right now? Because I had a lot to do with that. And I was like, damn.
Yeah, I don't think he suffers from smartest man in the room syndrome like Brian Colangelo did.
Oh, great point.
Because I think great leaders trust those around them to do their jobs and help collaborate. And I think very much as a team player his entire career, Elton Brand is going to be a team player GM.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And especially being a big man. Being a big man in this game. Your whole scoring is about having other people work with you. You know, so... You know, I think that even when you hear him talk, he's all about team.
Yep. He made it a point to mention his guys in that interview.
Yeah, and how good Tobias Harris is going to be in this lineup now.
Mm-hmm.
Without Jimmy Butler on the ball and Ben Simmons and all
J.J. Redick hijacking this offense.
And how many dribble high handoffs.
But like in all seriousness, he was a pick-and-roll player with the Clippers. He thrived in the pick-and-roll offense, and he was here twiddling his thumbs as the fourth option with no plays designed for him, so he was out of his element. Now you can design an offense around him, and it's going to be so much better.
I can't wait for the season to start.
Isn't this great? After 3.5 hours of misery talking about that dumpster fire Phillies team, Elton put a smile on my face.
Chief Beef made us happy.
He did. Well, and thank you.
I don't know if you caught the announcement or not. Chief Beef was in the building. Coming up in a minute here, some more smiles on the face.
He just texted me. He really is a big fan of Chief Beef.
Chief Beef!
We saw Chief Beef! Coming up in a minute here, this might not be smiles. Now, it might be some fond memories for people in this room. But Bobby's going through it right now. And I will tell you...
Imodium, Bob. That's what I would suggest.
What?
You're such an idiot.
Jamie, what the hell's wrong with you? Like,
he's got to get out of that room all by himself.
It works every time.
Setting up a quick segue.
60% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
A little warm water.
And you go right to Imodium.
Not what we're talking about, team.
My bad.
Yeah, you were a child.
That's personal, Bob. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Anyway, Jamie,
I saved that for you.
Bob's going through this right now, and I'll tell you right now, I don't look forward to this in the least bit.
Neither do I.
And if I'm anything like my father, oh boy,
all three of you have to look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go through it.
Some more recent, some sooner rather than others. Some sooner than. All right, anyway, we'll get to that. Time of 9:23.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chief Beef is in the building. Chief Beef is in the building.
Jamie's got a new toy. Christmas come early. Christmas in July, as a matter of fact. So, Bob, you got to go through this now, and we're going to get back to the Phillies in a second because they ain't just getting off scot-free in the 9 o'clock hour. We're hitting them again, that's for damn sure. But, Bob, you have to go through this really tough thing right now.
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't look forward to having to do this because, I like, my dad and I, we think the same. We're, like, the same person, so him teaching me how to drive was, like, an awful experience. My mom literally threw me the keys shortly before my 16th birthday, before I got my learner's permit, and we went to a big parking lot, a big empty parking lot. And she just said, all right, here, get a feel for the car. And I'm like, what? Okay, cool.
Oh, lucky you.
But you
You want to tell you about me getting my license? Oh. Remember, neither one of my parents drove. There was no car in the family. Oh, I took a written permit and then never drove and then took my driver test.
And that was it? And he passed?
That was it.
You passed with
flying
cars?
I failed the first time. Okay. I was going too fast.
But prodigy.
Yeah. So I'm going through last night. 16-year-old Jenna had a soccer game last night, so we're walking to the car, and she said, can I drive? I was like, oh, damn, that's right. You just got your permit, didn't you? So this is the third one that I've gone through it, and, yeah, it is not easy. But I'll just give you now. Trey's about to go through it with Tristan because Tristan and Jenna are about the same age. Mm. So you got it coming up real soon, Trey.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and it's just it's there.
The hesitation in Trey's voice.
There are few things where you really have to kind of curtail your energy than when you're because it is hard. Break. You know, stuff like that. Yeah, so it's not that easy, but you get through it.
Just thinking that my son is about to start driving, just I am concerned. You know, I'm trying to get him to take showers on a consistent basis, and then, you know, you're talking about, hey, here, take this car and drive.
Yeah, well, that was you know what the biggest part last night when we get into the car was? Her trying to find the right radio station before we took off.
See?
Oh.
Yeah, man, yeah. You know, it's... I don't know, man.
Can we go back to the showers for just 1 second here?
Yeah, yeah.
You're trying to get your son to shower regularly?
Man, you know, he's just... Boys are like that.
Dude,
man. He goes and plays basketball all day and just come home and just want to just chill. Just
I look forward to the shower at
I'm
the
like,
end of playing.
Son, man, go take a shower, man.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, all right.
I think that comes with age.
You know, it'll come.
Because I love showers. Like, twice a day,
shower,
I would do it, too.
But, right now, he's
But when
like,
I was 16, I was an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, whatever. I just let it marinate. You know what I'm saying? You know, it'll smell a little better if I put a little some spray on it, you know. But you know, because I do the laundry at the house at times, and I just go through the socks, and I'm like, son, how did you even get a sock to look like this? Like, you know, your entire foot must fall out of the sock because the hole is so massive. Like, what did you do? Why even keep this sock in rotation?
And now he's going to be driving.
And he's going to be driving soon.
An enclosed environment with a man who won't shower.
Hey, man.
That's called a hot box, I believe.
But, you know, we have to, hey, man, go make sure you take a shower, you know, let's do the little things, you know. I don't know. I'm really concerned.
Well, are you guys giving him the advice of always expect somebody else to do something stupid?
Well, I think that's the best advice there is.
My dad told me that, and every day I'm
behind
the
wheel. Be the
hunter.
Don't be the hunted.
Right. Exactly.
And here's what I always did. I actually took classes and became a certified driving instructor.
Really?
Yeah, I did. A few years ago. I swear to God.
Wait. Learn something new about Bobby every day.
So do you have a car with the double steering wheels?
My neighbor down the street has his own business, and he was getting waffled with, you know, clients and all, and he needed help. And you know, I had the Sixers off season, so I was like, all right. So I took the test, did it all. I had to take the test of, you actually go to DMV, and I had, it's just like taking your driver's test. I had a instructor in there, and he drove, and I had to tell him what to do. Watch your speed line. So.
Is it true you would wear a referee jersey and a whistle?
Okay. What I say to all the kids when, you know, to Jenna, my kids, when they're always know what's around you. You know, so she'll be driving the middle of the street, and I'll say, without looking in your rear view mirror, what's behind you? Anything, something, nothing, what color's the car? Yeah, my advice to them is always, and you'll do it with Tristan, just know everything that's around you all the time. What's behind you? What's coming at you? What's to your right and left?
Okay, so new promotion this summer. Get your license from Bob Cooney.
Yeah, I think my certification ran out, but it was I got it all. I had to take the written test, like, you know, how many feet can you park from a fire hydrant and all that stuff? Remember, just like
six
when you're
feet?
Getting your part? I have no idea. I don't know. I think I cheated.
I live in the city, so there's no rules.
Yeah. So, yeah, the driving's my thing.
My dad, he told me, you know, always expect somebody else to do something stupid and never make it back from Pittsburgh in anything more than 5 hours. And I said, you got it, Dad.
Yeah,
84.7.
Yeah, I have people defending you on Twitter.
You're damn right, because they know better.
Yeah,
all right,
bad.
Who's giving driving lessons now, Bob Cooney?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, illegal driving lessons.
Efficient.
I have kids going 25 and 25. You're going 84.
Uh-huh. It's a highway in the middle of the night. Mike and Sewell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike? Michael?
Hey, I got a Ben Simmons point and a Phillies point.
Go
so
for
first,
it.
First, the Ben Simmons point, I know it's important for him to develop a jump shot, but I think just as important is perfecting that 6 foot and in game, posting and taking that final dribble, just the strong move to the basket. I feel like there was times where he wasn't the best at that, but that's his strong point, and he can get a little bit better at that in addition to developing a jump shot.
I've said that many, 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 many times, Mike, that he needs to learn to finish off of 1 foot going at the basket. Instead of that stop and then, like, maybe the baby hook or something, finish at the rim more times than he does.
Right. And he has the best people. He has Embiid and Horford to show him some post moves, too, and his footwork and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no doubt he can go to that well.
And then the Phillies point. Last night, I turned it off when it was 6-1. They just looked like they don't want to play. And I think that starts with the comments about they're not ready, they're not there. When going into the season, we're spending money to get there. And then last year we overperformed with not having talent. This year we have the talent, we're underperforming. Starting from the front office, manager, and the players. I don't think it's any one person. I think it's the whole organization right now.
Was all this, Mike, to you as a fan, do you feel like this offseason was all almost a front where it was we're going to preach that we're all in, we're stupid money spending, getting our guy in Bryce Harper, and we're just going to basically make great show-me moves, but we're not going to complete the rest of the puzzle here because we're not going to add any pitching? Like that's really what it feels like. It was a bunch of false advertising is what it felt like.
Yeah, our batting should be better. It's unperforming, but the talent's there. I don't know why they don't pull the trigger on Keuchel or Kimbrel or any like the weakest two parts of our lineup is the pitching. And I don't know why they expected Pivetta to be this uprising. He showed flashes last year. He didn't show me anything that he could be a number two guy.
Yeah.
Velasquez stinks.
No,
I don't know why he's a number five.
No, I hear you there, Mike. Do you have a quote for us in honor of Will Ferrell's birthday?
Oh, from old school when they're trying to get him to bong a beer and he goes, I can't, I'm not drinking tonight. I got a big day tomorrow. Pretty nice Saturday. We're going to Home Depot, look at some flooring, maybe some wallpaper, maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if I have enough time.
I don't know how to quite tie it into the Phillies, but you just did that so perfectly. So yeah,
they don't have enough time to win.
There you go. Good enough for me,
there it
Mike.
Is.
Mike, you're going to FanFest. Congratulations. I don't know if I have enough time. You know what? I'll fill it up. I'm going to do one. 610-632-0975. Mike just wants some FanFest tickets. If you have a Will Ferrell movie quote, doesn't just have to be Will Ferrell, just a quote from a Will Ferrell movie, you'll win yourself some FanFest tickets. If you find a quote that illustrates the Philly season up until this point. Coming up, we'll give you our takeaways of the day. Also give you another hit on Burger Brawl as well. And something that we're going to do this week. We've been doing the sexy weather report and having our fun with that. We're going to do a little something to honor our good friends at Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse, always on top, that we're going to introduce Friday as well. 610-632-0975. Do have to tell you, the 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Time of the Fanatic is 941.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Chief Beef is in the building.
Two for two now on returns. Without Brand announcing that Chief Beef is in the building. It's now embraced. Chief Beef getting it done, man.
Yes, he is.
Chief Beef. You got to trust that beef, tell you that much. Let's get Lenny and Pittman up here. What's going on, Lenny?
Good morning, gentlemen, and how are we doing today?
You know, the Phillies have me in a bad mood, but Elton Brand helped calm me down, I'll tell you that much.
You don't need him to be. You want to be in a bad mood, constantly watch the Phillies. What you should have been in a good mood about is watch a team like the Dodgers that I've been asking baseball, period, to do for the longest time, not just the Phillies. Bunt the damn ball. When they do this shift stuff, bunt the ball. Last night, the Dodgers bunted the ball, a suicide squeeze. Of course, there was no Philly covering first base. And why does Major League refuse to bunt the ball anymore?
Well, the Dodgers didn't refuse to bunt the ball.
That's my point.
I know that's your point. But I saw Bryce Harper do it once against the shift. And I'm like, when you just need base runners, what the hell's wrong with just trying to put down that bunt every once in a blue moon?
I agree. It was totally embarrassing when you got to bring in a position player to pitch. I'll tell you what, just my opinion. I know it's everybody has their own opinions. I just feel the Phillies has some people that just should not even be – like Miguel Franco, I'm about tired of him, and Cesar Hernandez. Really, it's just time for them to go.
Well,
I'd watch the Dodgers. Did you see their dugout last night?
Yeah.
All happy and cheering. And it didn't matter if they scored 30 runs. They were just like excited. It's terrible, the morale. And Kapler has got to go. Gotta go.
I'm with you there 100%, Lenny. Lenny, do you have a movie quote from Will Ferrell?
The one where he's got the Trans Am in the driveway. Oh, my God. We're streaking.
Streaking and losing. But, okay, I'll take it. You're going to go to FanFest, Lenny. How about that?
Took the restrictor plates off the old Red Dragon. Not exactly street legal.
There's a line in that scene that makes me think of Wedding Crashers, even though the movies are like more than 10 years apart from each other, if I'm not mistaken. He says, "Hi, Mike," to no one that's across the street.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of the, "Mom, where's the meatloaf?" Because there's no one in the other room. Like, he literally just thought it would be funny to have a conversation with somebody who wasn't there. Like, Will Ferrell did that for himself. Like,
yeah,
that was,
pretty much.
It was for an audience of one.
I feel like he does that a lot.
You know, I appreciate selfish humor. I certainly have enough of it. But here's the thing. And we haven't played this yet. But it's cut four, Jamie. I want to get to this here because we haven't played it yet. And it is the moment when the Phillies forgot how many outs were in the inning. And the reason I want to play it is because I don't think T-Mac goes into Dave Roberts' reaction on the bench, but it was almost like Tom McCarthy got caught off guard that it was the third strike and the third out of the inning.
The ESPN feed did kind of as well. They were like, what's
like,
what?
Everybody forgot!
Well, because it was a 45-minute long inning of mistakes.
Yeah. All right, well, Trey, hold on. We'll get to that in 1 second. But here is the end of the fourth inning when the Phillies forgot how many outs there were.
Dodgers have done a lot of things really, really well in this inning. I mean, they're hustling. They're bunting. They're stealing. I mean, they do a lot of analytics stuff, but they've done an awful lot in this inning. Swing and a miss. The inning is over, and now the Phillies finally realize it. You can hear the boos in the background.
Wow.
So on NBC Sports Philly, you hear T-Mac right there. And it was like 7 seconds between the strikeout and, like, even, I guess, T-Mac, who was just taking a cue from the players, is like, there's a 7-second delay for him to realize it. Wait a minute. Do I have the outs right?
Well, you can hear the ball hit the glove.
Yeah. And it's from the ball hitting the glove to T-Mac saying that's the end of the inning, that's like 6 or 7
it
seconds.
It is. Yeah.
So then they flash to the dugout. The Dodgers dugout on NBC Sports Philadelphia, and you clearly see Dave Roberts looking at his bench coach going, wait a minute, that That's three outs, right? How many outs are there? And I'm sorry to bring it back to this, but this reminded me of the Bill Belichick moment in the Super Bowl. Sorry, Trey, that you played in, Trey, where he was curious as the last 5 minutes of the Super Bowl were going on. Hey, we're in the lead, right? And you see Bill Belichick on the sideline making that call, saying, hey, wait, wait, hold on. Is the scoreboard right? We're up, huh? Right?
Yeah.
That's what it took me back to. Sorry, Trey. Let's get to Tyler.
I thought you had it.
No. Let's. Okay. Sorry.
I'm glad.
Yeah. No, we didn't.
Yeah, I was told not to play it for Trey.
Yeah.
You might be traumatic.
Bye, Trey.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Okay, Trey. Yes. I. Who tweeted us that photo?
The photo is hilarious. Let's see. This is
Christopher. He goes by at Mr. Fanatic.
Yes.
With a PH.
Yes.
Christopher.
And I'm about to retweet this.
I retweeted it.
Yeah, I'm going to retweet it myself. You know,
this picture
is.
I don't know what this is. Is this me with a Bieber haircut? Is this me with a Kyle Korver?
I don't know, but he put a mean piece of hair on you, though.
Yeah, I think it's the Korver Bieber.
I've never
you
had...
You look like the guy from the Bud Light commercials, the ones that
You look like
the,
somebody should call 911.
Yeah.
There might be a petter ass in the area.
You look like you should not be around children.
Don't go near a school.
Kind of look like a bank. I don't know. What's his name, man? That place...
What?
Played in all the National Treasure movies.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage.
I've gotten that.
Yeah, take that.
I've gotten
put
that.
Some hair
really?
On Nicolas Cage.
My brother's gotten Nicolas Cage a lot more than I have.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, I have gotten Nicolas Cage before.
Oh, that's funny.
There you go. There you go. 610.
I'm sorry.
Did we get Tyler yet? Tyler and Deptford? You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
right. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome aboard, brother.
Thank you. After last night, I kind of don't know what to think about the Phillies anymore. I don't know. Like, people keep saying that Gabe needs to go, this, that, and that. Like, I don't mind Gabe. I just want him to show a little bit of life. I don't know if he needs to get a team meeting after a game and, you know, beat the hell out of some coolers or something and be like, this is what teams are doing to you. just to put some life back into these guys. Like, they're showing no fight on the field. Like, we're supposed to be the fighting Phillies, and no one's believing it anymore. So
here's the thing. If he tries one of those outbursts, will anybody on this team take it seriously? Or will they just look at it and be like, oh, well, here we go.
I would say no.
Yeah, now he's going to try that. Now he's going to try to be that guy. Where's that bit?
Right.
It's too late. We're the middle of July. And you have been a terrible baseball team for really, let's see here, since August 6th of last year with a good month sprinkled in between. Like,
right.
that's just terrible. And then, by the way, you've spent a lot more money this year, so you should be a little bit better. It just hasn't come to fruition for this team. So if he tries the freak out manager button right now, is anyone going to even take that seriously?
Probably not.
All right. Tyler, do you have a Will Ferrell movie quote for us?
I do. So in Step Brothers, when his parents are talking to Brennan and Dale, and then he says, I got a belly full of white dog crap in me. And then you lay this crap on me. So I guess this is after the McPhail quote.
Totally. Totally. No, that's a great one, Tyler. Thanks a lot. To put you on hold, you're going to FanFest. How about that? But here's the bottom line. Well, what do you got, Trey?
Yeah, just real quick, though. Yeah. Like, when you say if he needs to be a flip-out manager, if he has to be that for his players, then you got to look at the players. You got the wrong type of players. I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. Here's how I will counter that argument.
Uh-huh.
Then how come he didn't recognize that to begin with? Like, because I think there's certain players.
Well, he didn't build a team,
right? But he still has to manage the team.
You know, have
to find a way to reach your players.
I know, but if you find that type of situation more on the high school and college level, but on a professional level, if a coach has to go to that extreme to motivate his players, then he has the wrong players in the locker room.
I'll go to the example that I always go to whenever this gets brought up.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of the greatest coaches whose career I've ever followed, in Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
All right? Bill Parcells would talk about the players on his team. Like, Phil Simms was a guy that you had to, like, doubt and be negative with and yell and scream at to get the best out of him.
Uh-huh.
But if you had another guy on the team that just kind of, hey, let him run wild and he'll...
Like a Lawrence Taylor,
run wild. You do your thing. Even if when he went to Jeff Hostetler, who took over as a quarterback to win the Super Bowl, even though it's a great defensive team, we all know, he knew that was the type of guy that you just had to give, you know, that baby talk to.
Yeah, but that's individually.
Yeah, I understand that. So... Yeah. why can't he reach out to get to some of his individual players that way?
Yeah. That's that. Now, that's one thing I will say. He needs to find a way to talk to reach his players individually so that they can come together. But you still should. This should be policed by his own players.
I agree.
This is just, I don't know.
It's all
frustrating, though, because you see weird. How much talent this team has, and it's just,
yeah. I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. Let's jump into our takeaway. Oh, first off, we have our Twitter poll brought to you by the wonderful people of Window Nation. As I teased earlier, let me get to this. Starting this Friday, we're going to start with our big sexy report. Trey, every week something happens in the world of sexy.
Uh-huh.
Somebody tries to be a little sexy.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a little big sexy report brought to you by the wonderful people of Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. Always on top. That's going to start on Friday. I do have to tell people also on Friday that we're going to name our Hollidge True Value a Garden Center Tool of the Week. All plants, trees, and shrubs are now buy two, get one free at Hollidge True Value and Garden Center. And let's jump into our morning poll brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on any style window, plus make no down payment with no payments, no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90 Nation or visit windownation.com. Sam Wilson, what do you have for us?
This morning we asked, should the Phillies feel embarrassed after last night's game? We had just under 4,000 votes today. 97% say yes, they should feel embarrassed.
Dang. Right there and there. There you go. Thank you. Almost 100%. The Phillies wouldn't acknowledge it after the game that it was an embarrassing loss, an embarrassing night, but yet our fans are like, you damn well. Damn well and good should feel embarrassed.
Just proves that you'll never have a 100% unanimous poll.
Do you need water? That'll be our
to live.
You know, one of these days in the summer, maybe before training camp, we'll ask something that should be 100%.
Yeah. Well, today should have been 100%.
And we'll see if everyone can get on board with that.
I don't
that.
Think they will.
All right. Is the ocean wet? All right. Sam Wilson, what's your takeaway of the day?
Tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Now, right.
My takeaway is that we need more food competitions around here so that they bring us in food every day.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can't not have food. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is, on a day when the Phillies really have me down and in a dark place, you look to the Chief Beef for some happiness. And Chief Beef will give you the happiness.
It's now official that he's Chief Beef.
Uh-huh.
It's no longer just our thing. It's now everybody's thing.
Everybody. Chief Beef!
Trendsetters.
Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway comes from my wife, Donna, who sent in what Gabe Kapler should have been saying in reference to Will Ferrell's 52nd birthday.
Oh, God, what's that?
Dripping
and
with
that
sweat.
Is, I'm a cotton-headed ninny muggins.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, wow.
Donna continues to be the funniest Cooney.
Hey, don't miss the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow, folks. Trey Thomas, take away the day.
Chief Beef!
It's pretty easy.
Chief Beef
is in the building.
My takeaway of the day is how we started the show today. And I know that there's poetry, there's music behind it. But do we have Walking on Sunshine? Is that still available? Is that by chance queued up? Sorry, Jamie, it just came to me.
I just closed it like a minute ago.
Ah, you bastard. Ah, no problem. You get blown out last night. You get out hustled last night. Michael Franco has the opportunity to really pour it on by just even halfway hustling down the first baseline. Can't even do that to get Clayton Kershaw out of the game, maybe. Dave Roberts outmanages you, Gabe Kapler. Austin Barnes throws you completely off kilter by throwing down a bunt where Cesar Hernandez and Rhys Hoskins don't know what to do. You get pantsed on a double steal. Dave Roberts pantses you, and the fans of the opposing team chant, "Thank you, Philly." If you can't say that's embarrassing, if you can't acknowledge the embarrassment, then you're just nothing but in denial.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.